With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
All right, everyone, welcome to our emergency podcast recording. Obviously, a huge 24 hours for Australian cricket. For those watching on YouTube or Twitter, hello, welcome. For those listening, of course, I'm Menas. I'm joined by Jaleesa, who's looking better than ever. Hi, Jaleesa, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm on the toilet. That's why you can't see me. No, I'm just kidding.
And Paul Dennett's there. Paul, how are you?
Hey, good.
It's a joke, guys.
Yeah, we're laughing. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Really concerned.
I think it might have been a lag. There might have been a lag. It was the wrong time for the lag to come after your joke.
Classic
lag.
Yeah, classic technology. Now, everyone, we've got some viewers watching. So look, let's get into it. Firstly, this afternoon, the chairman of the board, Richard Freudenstein, and Nick Hockley held a press conference to answer some of the vexing questions coming out of this whole pain issue. Jaleesa was on the call. She bloody grilled the chairman, saying, well, Jaleesa, you go. You were the one doing it.
Was I that mean? I didn't realize.
You're pretty fired up.
My main line of questioning was, and I don't assume we've got the audio, but my main line of questioning was just that why was this okay for 3 years, but now it's not. And the frustrating thing that I think is that it feels like a bit of a smother job to everyone, that they just thought they could get away with pushing this under the rug for this long until it came out in the media. So that was basically what my question was. Well, if it's not appropriate for him to be captain now, why was it appropriate for him to be captain for 3 years? And if you found that he did nothing wrong back then why suddenly do you think that he's done something wrong now? And basically the answer was that, well, if we could go back to 2018, things we'd change, we maybe wouldn't make the same decision, blah, blah, blah. But again, I sort of said, well, yeah, okay, you're not making the same decision back then, but you've had all of this time and you haven't acted on it until it came out in the media. So basically, why didn't you just back him? If you were backing him all that time, why didn't you back him? And there was a lot of sidestepping of that question and various other questions during the whole press conference. One question I thought was very interesting that was asked was, well, there was a crossover of board members that did know about it and are still there. So, do they need to explain themselves? So it was, I have to say, all in all, I thought it was a little bit of a cluster of a press conference, because I think it's just a cluster of a situation. It just makes Cricket Australia look again a bit silly when you're only dealing with issues when they come out.
Now, some just key facts to come out of the press conference. So you're right, Jaleesa. They had this one line they kept saying that they couldn't speak about the process back in 2018, basically because both of them weren't involved in it. But then the chairman of the board said he was briefly made aware of the matter when he entered the board 2 years ago. So he's known about it for 2 years, but he was told the issue was resolved. Nick Hockley said he was briefed, I think, when he took over the role, and he was told the matter was resolved. But then he got the full file last Wednesday, Hockley said. So until then, he didn't know all the details of the inquiry. And they basically said they wouldn't have made the same decision. Go on.
I just, why on earth not? Why didn't you weren't you aware of the full, like, if I'm part of that organization and I hear a little rumor, I'm like, oh, hang on a sec, I want to know what happened there, even if I wasn't around at the time. I want to know in depth. Hang on a minute. We're talking about our Australian captain. Well, what was cleared? Was it satisfactory? Because if you're saying, you're claiming right now that that decision might be different now, but you're not wanting to know the details after the decision was made, after you've come through, I'm just really confused about that.
Was it implicit in what they said that they have actually not backed Payne at the moment? Because I would have thought the glib answer, if that's the right word, to your question from them would have been, we haven't stopped backing him. He himself has come to the decision to stand down. So the fact that they didn't say that, does that imply, or is it actually known, that he sort of went to them and said, will you back me? And they said no, and therefore that's why he's fallen on his sword?
Well, that's an interesting question, because someone else actually asked, well, if he wanted to keep going, would he be allowed to keep going? And they wouldn't answer that. They said, oh, that's a hypothetical. Well, yeah, it is a hypothetical, because we're all wondering what's going on here.
No, but they did implicitly say that there were discussions and Payne came to the decision to quit. And that was their line.
Came to the decision with what?
Yeah, like, but I'm just answering Paul's question.
Come to this decision. You know what I mean? Like, come to the decision. Like, you know, it wasn't, I thought that answer of saying, well, that's a hypothetical, was such a cop-out, because, well, do you back him or not? Like, where are you going with this? Are you got a, you know, foot in each side at the moment.
But I do think it's difficult for Hockley and Freudenstein, because, you know, so they're basically saying that it was handled badly originally. But what can, you know, when you take over a job, you can't go over and then, you know, look over every decision that's been made and then correct them. I mean, I think that's asking too much of any leader. So, I think they've just been handed a poison chalice with this one.
But that's fine. If you can't go over every decision and you felt that was unnecessary, you felt like the decision was right at the time, then back yourself now. It is so hypocritical to then come out now, just when it comes out in the media, and then say then take this action and then have to deal with it. It just looks weak. If you knew at the time, I'm sorry, if you hear Australian captain, sexting scandal, I am a head of an organisation, I want to know what that was. Was it handled appropriately?
What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough point from Jaleesa, that if you'd like to think that if someone had come on board an organisation and there was this issue, as Jaleesa said, such a serious issue, that you would want to be fully briefed on it. And even if you then decided not to do anything, I suppose that's a little bit different from saying, I was dimly aware of it, but I chose not to seek out any information until this current issue arose. I suppose it's human nature, though, that you kind of... it would take quite a lot, I think, to come on board and try to revisit an old issue like this, that there's not much to gain from it, you would have thought at the time. So I can see why they did what they did.
I think there's a lot to gain, though, in terms of, like, okay, if you can't come on and then you go, what they are saying, and I don't necessarily agree or disagree with this, but what they are saying is that perhaps if we had the time again in 2018, a different decision would have been made. Well, if that's the case, when you find out about it, a different decision needs to be made. And whether you could have protected everyone's privacy and identity and whatever, and just said, you know, Tim's stepping down for family reasons, he's stepping down for whatever reason, but, you know, you didn't have to go into it and bring everyone, innocent parties, into it. But you can't then, I think, when it comes out in the media years later, then take this stand on it. I just think it's so hypocritical.
Yeah, I disagree. I think, you know, it was handled badly at the time. You know, it was probably naive to think this would go away, but that's completely probably what everybody at Cricket Australia was hoping. And, you know, they probably thought, well, you know, I mean, realistically, that if this would have come out in 3 or 4 months' time, Payne will be retired then and they would have got away with it. So I don't think it's hypocritical. I just think this is another instance of Cricket Australia fluffing their responsibilities. This matter was fluffed at the time. It goes back to many crises that they think they can just sweep under the carpet and they'll go away. When will they learn? I mean, everything comes out.
That's my exact point. Everything comes out. So you should have handled it at the time. You shouldn't have turned a blind eye if you thought the wrong decision.
I agree. Absolutely. He shouldn't have been made captain.
And maybe the right decision was made. Maybe he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you know, I think probably, you know, obviously sending pictures that are not wanted is the wrong thing to do if that's come, you know, without any, without, you know, being asked or whatever. But if he hasn't done the wrong thing, this is also a massive blunder because you're then punishing him now when you already cleared him.
No, but then if you say that he shouldn't have been made captain, unless something's changed in the last few hours, I thought that the established facts were that they didn't know until after he had been made captain.
No, they didn't
but perhaps when it came out, he should have been stripped to the captaincy.
That's different from he shouldn't have been made captain. But yeah. I think
they didn't know when they made him captain.
Yeah, but the question of should they have then stripped him? Either the original executives in June 2018 when they found out, or this current crop of executives when they took control, should they have investigated further and then stripped him of the captaincy then? Or, as you say, Jaleesa, come full strong and back him now. I suppose the difficult thing is for any executive in either of those positions, whether it's in June 2018 or when the current crop took over, they would probably say, if you're looking at it purely from a brand damage point of view, that bringing it all upon themselves then, I don't know that they really could have been able to say he's stepping down for family reasons and kept it hush-hush, and that would still have then opened them up to the prospect of it coming out like it has done now, and then they'd be in the same situation. In other words, the damage that they would have perceived that it would have done at the time, they probably would have thought, well, if it ultimately does come out, it's probably not going to do much more damage than it does if we're open and honest about it now, which is probably partially true, I think. And I think that it's the sort of pragmatic, messy decision that probably most board members would make.
Okay, but so then do you have a board that goes, all right, we've got an Australian captain here who has sent an explicit picture to a woman who's saying she did not want that picture, but it's bad for our brand to bring this up now, so we'll just hope that it goes away.
Well, that's what they did, and I think that's what I'm not saying it's the right thing, but I think it's what most executives at most boards probably would have done. So, I think we've got a bit of
I'll just mute it for a sec.
Jaleesa's internet's dropping out, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll give Jaleesa's internet a sec to catch up. Paul, the only thing maybe, I guess, why we've got a sec, you know, you and I recorded an episode straight after, and now Jaleesa's dropped off. You and I recorded an episode sort of when the news was fresh yesterday, and we've since deleted it. But, you know, a lot of people listen to it. Is there anything you just wanted to clarify?
Yeah, I mean, I deleted it. It wasn't Menas who deleted it. It was me because we'd gone live so quickly straight after it that I actually kind of, on two issues, had sort of got the facts wrong. I hadn't realised that the complaints had actually come from the recipient of the message. I thought that the whole incident had been discovered sort of incidentally to that with another complaint, and also that the question of whether it was completely consensual, I hadn't realised that she had said it had been unwelcome in the press, and so. Oh, I think that what we said, what you said in that episode was completely correct and same as you're saying today. But I think that I would have spoken a bit differently had I been aware of those two facts. And so I just thought it is a fairly sensitive issue. I didn't think I said anything particularly wrong, but I just thought I'd rather scrap it. That given that I was speaking from a couple of untruths, I thought it was best to get a fresh slate. And here we are.
Excellent. Jaleesa's been bouncing in and out. Hopefully her internet comes back. So, you know, sort of a lot to reflect on overnight, from, you know, Payne's tearful exit. Any sort of, you know, reflections in the 24 hours after, Paul?
Well, I think obviously it's a there are no winners. It's a very sad situation. And again, I think that the scenes today of him walking out of the Hobart ground with the paparazzi were taking photos of him, and he looked like he had a very sort of clenched jaw and a very strained face, and you know, clearly not enjoying the scrutiny. And people would say, well, he's obviously brought it on himself, and he has. The notion of putting Australian test captain and dick pic in the same sentence doesn't really sit well. So it was probably, you know, definitely a massive error of judgment. I also do see the divergent views being expressed in the media of, on the one hand, those saying, he's being held to a standard that politicians tend not to be, and that he has been paid the ultimate price as far as his captaincy is concerned for something that is on the lower end of the scale. But you also see the other end of it, people saying, well, this was a picture that was sent to a party who was not welcoming of it, didn't want it, and was upset by it. And that is... you know, once you factor that in, then you really shouldn't have much sympathy for him. So I certainly can see both sides of that viewpoint. And as I said, there's no winners in this situation.
I think the timeline is that he was sending these photos when he was just about to make his return to the test side after such a long absence.
I think the morning of the test match, of the first test.
Yeah. That was when he was, you know, about to, yeah, break back into the side. I also, one of our listeners, Stephen Vag, was doing some digging, and Tim Payne's actually made history. He's the first Australian captain to have to retire or resign due to a kind of sex scandal. There's been various other reasons through history of why captains have left the role, but never a sexting scandal. So Tim Payne, you know, an unwanted slice of history. And I'm just stunned that you know, the man that was sort of, seen as a cultural driver, a leader on and off the field, that this was kind of in the background. I mean, Andrew Wu, who's, you know, an exceptional writer for the Channel 9 stable, writes that it was widely known in the game. So, you know, that is another stain on the whole cultural review. You know, the whole time they've had this duplicitous thing hanging over them. It makes everything seem a bit hollow.
I wonder whether more will come out in the coming days, that presumably some of the best journalists are speaking to all of the people who were on the board at that time and getting the backstory of what was discussed, because it would have been quite a bombshell if, as I understand it, it was June 2018 when this became known to the powers of Cricket Australia. This was after the March Sandpaper Gate incident. So they'd appointed Payne as captain. He'd captained Australia for one test match and was then on that tour of England, that five one-day game, forgettable tour of England where we got hammered. And sort of at the very beginning of trying to rebuild the Australian cricket team's image. So to suddenly have this come across their desk, you would have thought that the conversations they must have had would have been pretty heated and controversial. The fact that, gosh, this is potentially just another massive black mark against cricket. If we are now going to have to sack the captain that we've appointed, it's going to be even worse than the situation we're already in. And obviously they made the decision to do nothing. There was a couple of investigations as well. Presumably they were at some level of arm's length, but it will be interesting if some of the journalists can track down people who were in that meeting who might be willing to be very candid about what occurred and why it occurred.
Yeah, spot on. Can't wait to see some of that stuff come out, because it is, there's a lot of questions still to be answered. And look, the press conference today with Hockley and Freudenstein, they were washing their hands, basically saying, and we disagree with how it was handled. Now, yes, there are a lot of questions in the comments, and as is the method for these live broadcasts, we'll finish our little sort of chat, what we've got lined up, and then we'll go through all the questions if they haven't already been answered. So just pop them in the comments. Thanks, everybody who's watching. Now, look, when we spoke yesterday, I was very firm that I thought Tim Payne's time is now over in the Australian test side. You were a little bit more moderate on that. Has your thing changed? Because I noticed George Bailey was seen talking to Tim Payne in a grade ground in Hobart. I wonder if George Bailey was delivering the death knell, saying, well, we won't be needing you up in Brisbane.
Maybe you're saying, you know, you need to get crouched a bit lower to the spinners when the ball's drifting in. Stay down low. No. I think that I was partially very strong on him staying in the side because, as I said earlier, I was under the misapprehension that it wasn't quite as serious an incident as it was. Now, yeah, it's one of these things where I don't know which way it's going to go. I can certainly see it being very, very plausible that this is the end of his test career. I'm not saying that's guaranteed. I can still see how he would front up for the first test match. But, I think that now Cricket Australia would be in the position of saying, well, on the one hand, the keepers, they're very similar in standard, whether it's Payne or Carey or Inglis or others. They all do a very serviceable job behind the stumps and they can all bat a bit. So do we want someone who is younger and for the future and who can represent a clean break? Do we want someone who, if he's there, every moment is going to be, you know, the cameras are going to be focused on him. There's going to be loads of questions. Pat Cummins, presumably, he'll be the new captain, is going to have that to deal with. I mean, it would be a lot easier for him to have none of that distraction in the side. So, yes, I can see how it might be the end for him, but, you know, it may not be. And I kind of hope that it isn't. And again, maybe that'll sound wrong in a week's time, but at the moment, I think paying the price with the captaincy is a lot. It'd be unfortunate if his whole career ended as well.
Yeah, I have a lot of sympathy for Payne, but he just has to go, and I don't want to see him up there at the Gabba. Mark Waugh put it succinctly when he said, he's 36 years of age, he's coming back from injury, and he's got this scandal hanging over his head. There's a lot of things against him, Payne, now. I do think this is not great timing for my man Josh Inglis, because I think Inglis is sort of gradually overtaking Carey, perhaps. But I think if they were going to pick somebody for the Gabba, I think Carey would still get the spot, because I think his actual, you know, experience in the one day side, his leadership. You know, I said yesterday, was it to you or when you got off, that I had Gavin Robinson on the podcast, and he was talking about Kevin Sheedy saying, you know, Alex Carey's a natural leader. And, you know, I think we'll need that. If this is, you know, if now this has occurred, I think that will be important. So I'm sort of leaning towards Carey, and people suggested Matt Wade, but he's got a side strain. So yeah, I think it'll be Carey.
Yeah, no, you didn't mention the Sheedy anecdote to me, but I think that it will be interesting as to when they make that announcement, that one way or the other, that if they do say, okay, well, Payne is gone, they might be keen, if they are going to say Carey, they might be keen to anoint him as put him into the side very quickly, rather than wait for it to be a potential sort of head-to-head with him and Inglis in that Australia A game. Because if they don't make that announcement and then Inglis scores a century and keeps brilliantly, then they probably have no choice but to put him in. So maybe they will make the announcement sooner rather than later.
Yeah, George Bailey's been on the front foot with a lot of these decisions. We've already seen him back Marcus Harris. He said publicly he's not looking at that Australia v Australia A game as a shootout. And I think he said in the media he doesn't want these players to be playing seven tests, where they're playing the five tests, but they're also playing these Shield games and Australia A games with the pressure of a test match kind of vibe. And, you know, that's quite sensible from Bailey. Freudenstein and Hockley said the process for picking the new captain now will be a thorough process, but it'll be done obviously quickly because it has to be done before the first test. They said that they were actually, you know, beginning this process, but they'd envisaged it being sort of taken over the summer while Payne finished off, but now it'll be done quite rapidly. So they weren't willing to make a call on whether it would be Pat Cummins, but he would seem the standout favourite.
In some ways, I think they should. I mean, if they're going to go through this rigorous process and at the end of it all, they all know what the outcome is going to be. I remember once at a very senior, major Australian company that I was interested in, they had the CEO resigned, and in his resignation announcement, they announced the new CEO. And there's just no speculation. And in some ways, given that it's kind of, I can't see it being anyone other than Pat Cummins. I haven't heard a single person say that they think it will be anyone other than Pat Cummins. They might as well just announce it and get it done, I think.
Yeah, I wonder. Jaleesa Apps has joined us. How are you, Jaleesa?
Oh, this technical life, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. So, Jaleesa, what haven't you missed? But, you know, we were just sort of talking about who might be the next captain. I outlined that Freudenstein and Hockley are going to go through the process now. Paul thinks it should be Cummins and they should announce it quite quickly. Who do you favour?
Yeah, I definitely think that it should be Pat Cummins for sure. I think he's been primed for the role and it feels like it was always eventually going to happen. I don't think Tim Payne would have gone on much longer than this Ashes series anyway. So I think it will be him for sure. But I think I heard you just say, Paul, that you haven't heard anyone mention Smith. I've heard a few people mention and want him back, but I just don't think it'll happen just because I think in that T20 last year when Finch and Cummins were both out against India at the SCG, I think that would have been the perfect time to test the waters of bringing Steve Smith back and what that would be like. And they didn't do it. And it was just like a dead rubber T20 that honestly no one cared about. So I think that it's sort of past the point where they will consider Steve Smith. I wouldn't be mad if they put Steve Smith in, but I think it is Pat Cummins' time.
Yeah, agree. Jaleesa, just look, you dropped off and we were sort of deep in the board talk, but I'd love to get, you know, a professional female's perspective on what you think about the exchange between Payne and that co-worker. I think, obviously, when there's a power... Yeah, it's just obviously inappropriate, but I want to hear your perspective.
Well, I actually, to a point of it, I have no problem with the exchange, except, you know, it obviously is a bit grubby and, you know, he has a wife. I don't know what her situation is and he's got a wife and kid that's a bit gross. But it's two consenting adults. The point where that changed was when he sent the picture. And if what we are to read about that exchange is correct, that was an unwanted picture that was sent. Almost the, you know, flirtatious nature of them messaging escalated very quickly to be sending that photo. So I actually had no problem with it up until that point. If there's two consenting adults and, you know, their personal life is, it's a bit grubby, but I don't really care. It's not hurting anyone, you know, publicly, and, you know, whatever they've got going on in their own personal lives, it's none of my business. If we are to believe that the picture was sent unsolicited, then of course it's a problem. And oh my God, I just can't even understand. Like, just don't send a picture like that unless you're asking someone if they want a picture like that. Like, I don't think there's a young female on the planet with social media who hasn't been sent a picture like that. And it's just like, oh my God. Like,
it's incredible.
You don't want to see it. Like, and I, you know, every time somebody sends it to me, I send back nude calendar that the English cricket side did with, there's a picture of like Alastair Cook, and I just send that back and move on with my life. But I just don't understand why people send that completely unsolicited, and that was the point of the exchange that is problematic for me.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Yep,
absolutely. Yeah, so look, what about vice-captain? I'd like to see Josh Hazlewood get the role. He's steady as a rock, doesn't want the captaincy, plays in all formats, plays most games. Why not someone like Hazlewood?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, Crash was saying it should be Smith so that you can have that extra experience. In some senses, it might be a smart idea to put Smith in if Smith is going to be resentful. You know, you'd rather have him sort of on the inner circle rather than outside it. So that probably would be why I would maybe choose Smith as well, that you could then feel like he was part of it. Steve Waugh was saying that maybe when Cummins is actually bowling, that the vice captain could take over and set the field during that time so that Cummins could stand at fine leg and kind of just recover aerobically and puff out and everything like that and not have to think about it. If Smith was to be doing that, it might that might be okay. But maybe they want, given the situation, the circumstances of Payne's departure, to make a complete break from as much scandal as they can and appoint someone with no track record at all, in which case Hazelwood would be interesting. We've gone from no Australian fast bowler being captain since Ray Lindwall, and he was only captain for, I think, one test match. It's basically no Australian fast bowler for almost ever, to suddenly have a fast bowler captaincy and captain and vice captain. It'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, I'd like that one. Definitely.
I don't agree with Hazelwood, with nothing against him. I think he actually is captaincy material, but I just don't think he has, just having two fast bowlers would just be a bit of chaos, I think, to have. I think you need to have a sort of different perspective in there. And I actually like Steve Smith and as a bit of a support role there. I don't feel like it'd be as controversial as if he was captain. I think he would just provide a good support.
Absolutely. Well, what a day for Australian cricket. Both Australia and England, Ashes teams in turmoil. England dealing with a racism scandal. Australia now a sexting scandal. So the subplots are many heading into the Ashes. It's going to be a massive summer.
Just on that, thinking about it, if I had to guess, maybe they'll go with Labuschagne as vice-captain.
Yeah, potentially.
He would be a good one, but, Warner can't do it. The other opener's not settled. Labuschagne's three, Smith, and then you've got Head. You've got number five. Green's too young, so.
Tim Payne, maybe?
He won't be there.
I don't believe Payne will be. I mean, maybe they'll select him out of loyalty, but I actually don't think he deserves a place in the side, not because of this scandal that's come out. Obviously, he's paid the price for that, but just because I don't think he's in the best form and hasn't been for quite a while. I'd really like to see Alex Carey be given a shot.
Yeah, agree. We talked about that while you dropped off. But,
okay.
No, it's good. I'm glad you threw that in. So any other points you two want to hit before we wrap this up? Thanks, everybody who's watched. Obviously, we'll be getting again together next week for a proper podcast, but we just couldn't not talk about this. It's cricket just never stops.
Mm. I've got nothing else. I'm ready to go to the questions, unless, Jaleesa, have you got something to say?
No, I'm happy to answer a few questions.
All right, let's
I think we've kind of answered actually most of them. Okay. So thanks everybody that have fired them in. But they're also the topics we've covered. So look, thanks everybody for watching. The tech's failing us. So back soon. Bye.
Bye.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.